a report on the boats, Casca, and White Horse. Drop in. It's a drop-in show. Here's Rolf Hogan. Anyone who may have an old torn tent or tarp needed at the boats, drop off this afternoon. What's that all about, Rolf?
Well, John, the just came back with Pat Burns. We went down to have a final look at the river boats. Tomorrow's the last day of the program.
There was no extension?
Unless an extension is granted, and I'm still hoping. But it is I understand, a Treasury Board decision. The Treasury Board's at all programs, and May 21st. I'm informed that Cray-Chan has sent a letter to the Treasury Board asking for an extension of this particular program. So I'm still hopeful, but I don't think it will really happen, so that we are closing down, you might say, and by tomorrow afternoon the program will stop. Now, the cask is complete. Mm-hmm. The White Horse, another week would have done everything to secure it. But this little note that I dropped off is to ask if anyone has torn canvas, tarps, old tents around, if they want to get rid of them or want to contribute them. If they drop them down, the Bernie Payne and Fred Hart down there are trying to secure the decks on the White Horse. And the grant is based on a 3-to-1 ratio, $3 of labor to $1 material. So a control has to be kept. We can't buy any more material, paint or anything else, because it'll throw the ratio out. So whereas we've got men to do the job, we haven't got materials. They have materials right up till this morning, but the last 2 gallons of paint are now being used, and the canvas has all been used up, and so on. So the program is sort of slowing right down. But that would help. Canvas, tarp, anything.
Anybody that has an old torn tent they don't want, or a piece of canvas or so forth, drop them down at the river boats. They could be used to secure the decks of the riverboat White Horse. Used for a good cause. Rather than throwing them out at cleanup week, they should be removed. But why not make use of them? Drop them down to the steamboats. How much of the $40,000 will have been spent by tomorrow night?
Roughly $20,000.
That other 20, if the time were extended, could be put to good use, presumably.
There's the fence will cost $10,000 to $12,000, and I would hope for the extension mainly because of the fence. Perhaps another $3,000 to $4,000 would be spent on the White Horse to secure it, and that would complete the whole program.
Why couldn't another group or another crew have been working on the fence in the last month?
Again, it's the ratio, labor, material. The fence costs $4,600. So we couldn't buy the fence.
But surely you could have logged the fence and used logs.
You can go over logs. It has to be a chain link, pretty well barbed wire on top.
Yeah, I see.
So really, there wasn't any choice but to delay ordering the fence and hoping for an extension.
Good morning, Talkback.
Yes, I wonder if I could boost a local event.
Sure you can. Kennel Club Dog Show, it's going to be a biggie. Rolf, the city council turned down the acquisition of the boats on behalf of the city. What happens to them once you get them fixed up?
Well, I was out in Faro when all this this occurred, and I've only heard the news item. And, I appeared before council a week before, and I emphasized at that time that I was not in any way pressuring them to take on the boats. That in my view, the city owning the boats, as I think they should own log cabins, and I think they should own other historical things as a base for building a tourist industry and keeping tourists here, the ownership of them isn't really important. Mm-hmm. If White Pass would retain them in the restored condition, I would be happy. If the Historical Society would acquire them, I would be happy. I'm prepared to form a society to take on the responsibility of the boat. In fact, I told council I personally, in order to get the project going, without all the formalities and procedures and legal implications and all that, if we'd gone through all of that, the boats wouldn't have been restored. So rather than just in order to cut through the red tape, I even offered to pay the cost of the insurance and maintaining the crossing as long as I was in business in the Yukon. I would undertake that obligation, toll White Pass accordingly, and pass that on to City Council. I don't want them to feel they're being pressured. It's a decision they have to make on the basis of what good is preserving the boats.
They've made the decisions.
To the Yukon. What good is it? And if they feel there is no value, then I think that's a valid decision, and then other alternatives will be sought.
Why don't you start a Save Our History Society, and you could include a lot of other things, too, that need saving. There's been so much taken out of the Yukon in terms of artifacts, antiques, and so forth, and we see various business establishments, a Klondike bar that I was in, for instance, with artifacts from the Yukon. This bar, I think, is in Vancouver or somewhere. But that type of thing, and maybe it's going to take a private organization or a society to be effective.
I'm just so pleased what has happened to date. The boats are saved. That is a fact. This pleases me. All the arguments that go on, pros and cons and so on, fine. The argument should continue. Good discussion on subjects of public interest are fine. And I accept this very much. But I'm not prepared to accept, from my own personal standpoint, sitting still any longer and watching our history being destroyed and damaged. We lost the old post office courthouse by a government decision that we no longer wanted it. It was an historical building of an architecture of a time when, right now, tourists would be fascinated by the old platform in which the judge sat and so on, and all the old brass box post office boxes of the old ornate and little cubicles in which you walked up to get your mail. This, to me, was history destroyed, and I, for one, am not prepared to sit back and allow it to happen, and that's why the riverboat involvement. It just can't go on, not only for the sake of our children, who should see and know about our heritage in the background of the Yukon, but from a business standpoint and building an industry. If we're going to bring in tourists, if we can keep them an extra day, it's worth tens of thousands of dollars to the Yukon. And the only way we keep them an extra day is to give them something to do. And to give them something to do is to have a variety of things. I think the three-story log cabin should be acquired, those two lots, by the city and developed, as the old log church must be preserved, the river boats, in spite of the Klondike being restored. And that's great. That's one place to go and travel through it. But those river boats on the river, where they were built, is just one more place that on the tours that tourists are taken on, it's history, it's of interest.
Good morning, Talkback.
Good morning.
Thanks for waiting.
Good morning, Mr. Dumas. We're kind of interested in knowing, is there a list published of all the winners?
So what's the next move then? Like I say, whose responsibility today, or let's say the day after tomorrow, when the program for restoring the boats is finished, whose responsibility then to maintain, to look after them, to make sure people don't go on them, et cetera, et cetera?
They are secure. They're all boarded up, and no one can get on board without breaking in. There'll be barbed wire put around the paddle wheels themselves so they can't crawl up. They'll have to bring their own means of getting on board, a ladder, a great long plank or something, and arrangements will be made that they will be... An eye will be kept on them so that there is breakage, the people can be prosecuted because they will be trespassing. These arrangements will be worked out. The next move, I don't really know. I'm certainly not prepared to drop the subject or drop the project. I intend to seek additional grants to continue the program, and I would hope that some organization will take them on. But if necessary, our riverboat committee, that number some 7 or 8 people, will form a special society for the purpose of preserving and owning those boats. See, White Pass have been most cooperative at all times in this whole program. And Marvin Taylor, I'm sure, stuck his neck out a bit by saying, look, go ahead, proceed to do it, even though we haven't got the paperwork completed. So we'll find a solution. We'll find a solution to it. And the main thing is the preservation has been accomplished. The rest, it might take another month, it might take 6 months, it might take a year. Not too important now. They won't deteriorate further. We've got the time to do something, and this we'll have to do. I just hope that elected representatives of the future are imaginative people who think beyond tomorrow, who think to the future, who will plan accordingly. Because tourist industry is a terribly, terribly important industry to the Yukon and to Whitehorse particularly.
Are you suggesting that our present city council isn't that imaginative in view of the fact that they've turned down the acquisition of the boats?
No, I wouldn't relate anything about council to the boats. I think their decision is valid not to accept them and so on. I wouldn't want to imply any criticism of council because of the boat situation, because of my personal concern and involvement in the boats. But if you can take that out of my comments, in general, I don't think they are an imaginative, forward-planning lot. I think we have to be looking 5-10 years ahead in our city planning. We're way behind in planning a long-range paving and sidewalk program, which incidentally, if this FLIP grant could have been used for such things, I think perhaps it would have been well to put in sidewalks and alleviate dust conditions before restoring boats. You know, that's an argument I'd be prepared to get into. But they have to be planning ahead, not just for the next election and not just for a day after tomorrow. They have to be thinking ahead. You recall, John, that we've had many arguments on recreation. And a few years ago, there's no way City Council would take on anything to do with recreation. The Civic Center had to be run by a group of interested people, the swimming pool likewise. Recreation, I argued at that time, and believe strongly in, is so important to the community. It is a responsibility to be coordinated and organized by the city, because it's needed. It's as important as sidewalks and sewer and water. And now we're doing that. The principle of the city involvement in recreation, with a lot of volunteers and organization, but the principle is there. I just hope the city council of the future, will take a positive position in the EPEC. Is it EPEC? Study on Recreation and Historical Thing? Recommends in that report that the city become involved in the preservation of some of our historical things within the community. It's good business sense to do it. It's not only important for future generations, it's good business sense to do it. I just hope we have imaginative people in there in the future who can think and plan.
You sound like a man who should be running for city council.
If I ran for city council, I wouldn't have a hope in hell of getting elected. And I know that, I recognize that, because I'm too involved in too many things, and people think that I would be there for my own personal gain. And therefore, I would be at the bottom of the polls, recognize this, but that doesn't mean to say I'm not interested on a voluntary basis of being very actively involved in any project that comes along from time to time.
Rolf, thank you very much for dropping in and having what turned out to be a very candid discussion with us.
Well, all this started because I need some canvas.
Right. torn tents or pieces of canvas, I think he deserves them. After that, would you drop them down to the
Even old paint, I'd settle for old paint to paint the next
Old paint, anything to conserve the
But it must be there right after lunch because they're running out of time.
Is there any... could you have them picked up if somebody phoned? Is there any place somebody could phone? Like, no doubt there are people at home that may have it, but have no way of getting it down.
Okay, they can phone me at 74222, and I'll arrange for someone to pick it up.
74222, and somebody will pick up that old bit of canvas or paint or whatever you have that can help be used to help conserve the deck of the Sternwheeler Whitehorse.
And I'm still hoping for Jean Chrétien to phone wire today or tomorrow and say, carry on for 30 days, then we'll really complete the project.
Rolf, thanks very much for dropping in. And that has been our Talk Back program, and a wide range of topics with Eric Nielsen on the air with us, and with Dennis Stenger dropping in, and Rolf Hogan. We've covered a lot of areas. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the proposed transit study, which is taking place right now on a transit system for the Yukon, as well, hopefully, the hostel set up down at Jim Light Memorial Arena and the hockey school, which is being held in the same place this summer. So the program's Talk Back. The number is 77891. Be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Until then, this is John Dumas saying thank you for being with us and have a real good day.